Father, again, what a blessing it is to be in this place this morning, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be know that we who have put our faith in you are your children, part of your family, and we thank you for that this morning. And Lord, we just pray your blessing now as we turn to your word. May our hearts be open to what you have for us this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me take a few of you back memory lane a little bit. How many of you remember have ever roller skated? How many of you remember the first time you strapped roller skates under your feet? I believe I was in elementary school, and it was a school event where we went skating, and the local rink at that time was called the Silver Moon. Some chuckle, but it was a dive. It really was. I mean, the first time I was sixth grade, I go skating there. It's a rainy evening. Water is dripping on the skating floor. Now, if you've ever skated and ever hit a patch of water, but to be honest with you, my first time I wasn't worried about the water in the middle of the floor because I never left the wall. Right? Any of you remember that? That first night, and then you get to an opening where they go in and out of the skating floor, and you're like, oh, now what? And I kept going back, and I remember that first time watching people, they make it look so easy. They're out there crossing over, doing, and it looked really cool. As they went around the corners, and then there were some of those guys that were really fast, and they turn around backwards and put on their toe stops. You know, and again, I'm still clinging to the wall. Over time, I'm not sure exactly how it happened. I have two older brothers. They were very nice and would allow me to tag along. We began to skate more and more and more. And really, skating is allowed one of the best things ever to happen to me because I met my wife at a skating rink. And eventually, skating more and more, Mom and Dad bought us a pair of skates one Christmas. I even got a job at the rink, and at that point I began to skate some weeks up to 20 hours a week. And I got pretty good. I could actually skate backwards. You know, I could skate backwards, I could skate sideways, I could do things I would have never dreamed I could have done. And it became very easy. Now, to be honest with you, I have skates in my closet at home. And that's kind of where they seem to stay. I'm not sure I would try it again. I might if I was, it would take a lot. But my point is it became very easy. And I think if we look at our lives, there's often times that are very similar to that. Something that seemed very intimidating to us at one time. And as we learned, as we practiced, we got better at it. And to the point at some point where we did it without even thinking about what we were doing. Folks, I want to suggest to you this morning, the same is true when it comes to serving God. Serving God, when we talk about serving God, when we talk about sharing our faith, it seems intimidating. People get scared. People get, they pull back. They're like, I'm not so sure about this. And folks, as we get into the book of Romans this morning, and it's been a while since we've been there, but if you turn in your Bibles this morning to chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21, we're going to discover that if we follow Paul's example, we can allow God to work through us. And folks, I believe the more we do this, the more we see him work through us, the more we see him use us, the easier it gets. And if you're there in the book of Romans, it's been a while, as I've said, but since we've been in the book of Romans, because we did a series during Christmas time, we did some New Year's sermon, I was away for a week, and now finally we get back to the book of Romans. One of the things in Romans, since it's been so long, is really since chapter 12, we've seen a major emphasis on how we are to live our lives. You know, chapter 12 starts off with, we are to be a living sacrifice. It tells us that we're to be renewed by the transforming of our minds. And as we continue on in chapter 13, there's an emphasis on submitting to the authorities and being clothed with Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, we are to be careful not to judge others. We are to live at peace with one another. And we, as we got into chapter 15, we see that our purpose and our goal is to bring glory to God's name. And these are just a few truths that we have learned. But as we begin in our passage today, as we think about being about serving God, about allowing God to work through us, we're going to see a few truths. And the first truth we're going to find in verse 14 is that each one of us is adequately equipped. And I think about some of the conversations I've had in the past. I even think about how I felt at various times when it comes to ministry. Often people say, I just don't feel qualified. I'm not sure I know enough. I'm not sure I'm ready. Maybe a lack of knowledge. The list can go on and on. And I know I've shared with you folks several times, God had to pull me through the process. And it began with as a young man in our church in Indiana, I was asked to serve as a deacon. And I would serve as a deacon, and God would use that to give me a taste for ministry. Then I would be asked to go on a missions trip, a little more taste for ministry. Then I would serve as a youth leader. Then I would actually teach junior high students. God kept pulling me along. And to be honest with you, this is going to sound strange, but I like teaching junior high students. Junior high can be a fun age. You know, junior hires just want to be treated like an adult but play like a kid. And I can do that. In fact, as I felt the call into vocational ministry, in my mind it was going to be, I'm going to go get an education, I'm going to be a youth pastor. And maybe that's because I just don't want to grow up. I don't know, but that was my mind. And as I'm going through this process, God keeps pulling me along. And to be honest with you, I never wanted to do what I'm doing this morning. You know, and the only reason I took a preaching class is because it was required. So here I am, I'm in the preaching class, go through this process. And those classes are so hard. You have to preach in front of your classmates, and then you have to watch yourself preach on a video, critique yourself. Just loads of fun. So I preach the first sermon, and then the professor does something completely crazy. He says, I want you to preach in chapel. You got the wrong guy. And he didn't really give me an option. Three students each semester would preach in chapel. Somehow I was one of the three. You talk about scared. You talk about butterflies. You talk about dry mouth. Yet God would use things to pull me along. He allowed me to see that I was more equipped than I thought I was. In fact, it would be between my junior and senior year in college that I would be called to preach at a local church. And folks, I'm here to tell you, as we look at verse 14 and we see Paul's description of the church in Rome, it becomes evident that each one of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ have been adequately equipped. Maybe I should have thought about that twice before I made that a point. To serve him. If you follow along in your Bibles, in verse 14, Paul says the following to the church of Rome. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What is important to remember about Paul and the church of Rome? He did not plant this church. He has not visited this church. And yet he is able to say those words about the church of Rome. He's able to say, you are full of goodness. Church, I can stand before you this morning, and I have to put a little qualifier in there. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can say with confidence this morning, you are full of goodness. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. That is where the goodness comes from. Because if we look at the flesh and we look at the Bible and what it says about the flesh, there's nothing good there. Paul would also say that they're full of knowledge. And that they are able to admonish one another. Church, I hope you understand one thing this morning. We are more equipped today than the Church of Rome was. And you may say, well, how in the world can you say that with such confidence? Because we have a Bible that contains 66 books. And each one of us at least has one copy and multiple copies available in digital form where they had nothing. You know, we have the Bible, which is such a huge resource. And when it comes to the knowledge of knowing things, we have everything that God wants us to know, everything that we need to know from God contained within the 66 books of the Bible. And I think of a few passages. One of them we looked at in our Christmas series that can remind us of how God has equipped us. He is, number one, He's created us for good works, right? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what, church? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Another verse in the book of 2 Peter, reminding us of how God has equipped us. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to call us by glory and virtue. And I didn't highlight it this morning in the PowerPoint, but His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some, not most, but all things. And as I've already expressed this morning, we are blessed to have His Word. And in the passage we looked at the last week before the new year was from 2 Timothy, where we read the following. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And something we need to highlight there as we're looking at that being adequately equipped is that we are thoroughly equipped for every good work through the Word of God. If you are here this morning, God has given you everything you need to allow Him to work through you. Do you believe that this morning, church? Because you know what? I can tell you there's somebody who doesn't want you to believe it, and that's Satan. Satan doesn't want us to believe. I mean, and what have I shared with you this morning? I've shared with you truths from God's Word that says you are equipped. What does Satan want? He wants you to have those doubts. He wants you to have those fears. He wants you to shrink back and to hold back. He doesn't want you to allow God to work through you because He knows that when we do that, we become a powerful tool in the hand of God. A tool that will take down Satan's kingdom as people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, and Satan is the great deceiver. And we can either allow those doubts to flood our minds and allow him to deceive us, or we can focus on the truths of God's Word and the truths that He has for us. And speaking of truth, as we look at verse 15, we see a second truth this morning. And that is that the gospel is not just for lost people. You know, Paul has made it clear that we are adequately equipped, or that really that the Church of Rome is adequately equipped. But I want you to think about our study through the book of Romans, and I know you're going to have to think back a long ways. Well, boy, chapters 3 through 8 are gospel-focused. At chapter 3, we talk about the depravity of man. There's no one righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. That's chapter 3. Goes on and says that no one will declare righteousness in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Chapter 3, for the wages of sin is death. Chapter 6, over and over we see the gospel presented to the church of Rome, the church that now in the same letter he's saying, you've got everything you need. What a reminder to us all. We all need the gospel message on a regular basis. And I believe the truth of that is we need to be reminded of who we were before we were saved. We need to be reminded if we live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit, that we're going to seek the things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit, as we're told in Romans chapter 8. We have to be reminded of God's grace. Just this past week, able to have some conversations with a few men in the church, and there was an emphasis as they were reflecting on their lives and what God was doing on God's grace. Not giving us what we deserve. And it's as we focus on the truths of the gospel message that we are reminded of that on a regular basis. Reminded that we in ourselves can accomplish nothing spiritually. It is only through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we have been saved from our sins, that we have inherited His Spirit and indwells within us and allows us to have a spiritual mind, allows us to be able to be used by God for His purpose here on earth. So we need to understand that we have been equipped. We need to understand and focus on the gospel message on a regular basis. But we also need to understand our purpose. If we look at the first part of verse 16, we read the following. Now Paul is transitioning and he's going to begin talking about his own ministry. As in verse 16... Actually, I never read verse 15. How can I do that? And here's where really the gospel message comes in. They're adequately equipped, and Paul says the following. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because the grace given to me by God. What points has Paul written to them about? Much of which has been of the gospel message. But then we see in verse 16, Paul, as he transitions to himself and he understands his purpose, as we read, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Paul understood his purpose. Paul was one who was not sitting around and saying to himself, I wonder what God's will is for my life today. He understood that God had called him out of being a Pharisee. God had called him out of the Jewish faith to be a minister to the Gentiles. To be a minister to the very people he loathed before God saved him from his sins. You know, he devoted his life to missions work. He planted churches. He encouraged churches through his letter writing. And folks, I don't know about you, and I said, I don't think Paul sat around and said, I wonder what God's will is for my life. But you know, as a pastor, how many times I've heard that question asked? What is God's will for my life? And I would say simply, He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. He wants to use you to be part of the Great Commission, which we read about in Matthew 28. And here we have Jesus speaking to His disciples, and we read the following. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, I have referenced this passage many times. I've even preached this passage a time or two, and yet as I'm preparing for today, and I don't have it on the PowerPoint, but the beginning of this verse, that the words that Jesus spoke jumped out to me as he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Well, that just trumps anything any resume has ever said, doesn't it? And I think about those words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then he goes on to give the command. You know, that he has qualified himself as someone we need to listen to. And I think about that. I mean, we should really pay attention to what he has said. Granted, he was speaking to the disciples, but I believe, church, I believe this command reaches into the church of Jesus Christ, and that we are to be going and we are to make disciples. That is God's purpose. That is his will for each one of us, is to be part used through him in the discipleship making process. And it's more than just sharing the gospel message. As you look through this passage, it's baptizing, it's teaching them the commands, it's helping them grow in their faith, to where when we reach someone with Christ and we allow God to work through us, eventually they're going to be making disciples on them by themselves. One of the things that an emphasis when I was going through Bible college was disciples making disciples. And if every person in this building could reach two people and disciple two people this year, and by the end of that year, that those people began to do the same, that the growth would be mind-boggling of what could take place. But what has to happen first? We have to allow God to work through us. And one thing we do see, right, I highlighted to you this morning, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And as he ends this, what do we see? And lo, I am with you always. Well, let that sink in, right? Remember the illustration of not wanting to leave the wall in the skating rink? Sometimes when it comes to ministering, we have the fear of leaving our safety net. Well, we don't need to fear that, because why? Because God is with us always. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's with us always. This, we continue on in the second half of verse 16. Paul places an emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. And we continue and finish reading verse 16. It says, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable and an acceptable sacrifice, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I'll get it out yet. Something kind of interesting about Paul's ministry and life here. He sees his work as an offering to God. Well, that's a reminder for us all. You know, here in the United States, we put a lot of emphasis on numbers, don't we? How many people go to your church? Even as pastors, you get together with a bunch of pastors. How many people attend your church? Put a lot of emphasis on numbers. You know what? I don't think, when I read this passage, I think Paul could care less about numbers. But it wasn't about him. Everything he did, he saw as something he was offering up to God. And really, as we want to be used by God, that's important for us to remember that what we are doing should be viewed as an offering to God, something we want to give back to him. But more importantly, we see that phrase, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's saying the Gentiles have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul is recognizing that he himself did not save anyone through his ministry. He was not capable of sanctifying, which means to set apart or to make holy. That is the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. Paul was just a messenger. And folks, I pray that you get this as well. We do not have the power to save anyone. But we sure have the ability to point them to the one who can save, and that's to God. And really, when it comes to lost people, when it comes to spiritual matters, the only thing we can do is we can speak the truth. And it's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart of men. It was the Holy Spirit who entered into your life one day and allowed you to see the truth, to see that you were a sinner. It was the Holy Spirit that allowed your eyes and heart to be open to the gospel message and that Jesus Christ came to save your soul. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's as we present the truths of God's Word, the Holy Spirit will work through us, and Lord willing, we will be able to someday look at those who have been saved as God has worked through us and say, this is an offering to my God. As we continue on in the next few verses, there's an emphasis on the fact that it's Christ who works through us. Verses 17 through 19, again, Paul continues on talking about his ministry. He says, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient, and mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. But what an attitude of humility on Paul's part. You know, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. He recognized that he does not deserve the credit. And folks, I'll tell you what, this goes against human nature, doesn't it? And I'll have to tell you, this is a great reminder for us all. It's one of the things that can happen with a willing heart that is willing to be used by God. You're going to see some things accomplished by God. Things that if you're not careful, you might take credit for. And what a powerful example Paul has set for us when he says, I don't want to speak of anything except what Christ has done through me. What a change has taken place in this man's life. If you know the story of Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was all about the law. He thought himself to be blameless. In fact, we get a little bit of a picture of the change that took place in Paul's life in the book of Philippians. As we read, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and having no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now here comes Paul's resume. It's not nearly as impressive as what we saw from Jesus. But he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And here's a real boastful statement. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What a difference Jesus made in the life of Paul. He recognizes that at this point in his life, as he's writing the book of Romans, that he is just a vessel that God is working through. In fact, he doesn't want to speak of anything except what Christ has done through him. Well, the same is true for you and I. And I'm afraid we often sell the work of Jesus Christ short. When we allow Satan to put those doubts in our minds, and when we might say to ourselves, I don't think God could ever use me. Boy, if we have those doubts and if we make that statement, or even if we have those thoughts, we're selling the power of Jesus Christ short. Because He has the power to work through us to reach lost people, to work through us to fulfill the Great Commission. And it says, as we allow Him to work through us, lives will be saved, disciples can be made. And folks, I hope you get this. That is God's plan for your life. But we have to be willing to allow Him to work through us in order to see the Great Commission fulfilled. And once again, as I was thinking through this and I was thinking back to our series at Christmas, you know, and the angel Gabriel had visited Mary. Mary had some concerns how it was going to be. And at the end of Gabriel's time with Mary, he used this phrase, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Which means, with God, nothing will be impossible in your life as well, if you're willing to allow Him to work through you. And it's at that point you can reach people with the gospel message. And Lord willing, someday you will be able to echo the words of Paul. I'm not going to venture to speak of anything except what Christ has done through me. As we see individuals come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we look at verses 20 and 21, as Paul continues to talk about his ministry, I think we just have to see the importance to interact with people outside of the church. And one of the things I appreciate about Coral Ridge Baptist Church is we have a great community here. In fact, sometimes I wonder if you'll ever leave the building after Sunday morning service. And that's a good problem to have. It means you're talking to each other, you enjoy each other's company, but we can't just interact with only the people within this room. We have to interact with people outside of these walls. We have to interact with people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And listen to what Paul says here in verses 20 and 21. He says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Folks, we have to be willing to interact with people outside of the church. We have to be willing to get to know our neighbors. We have to be willing to get to know the people around us, interact with them. You know, and the thing is, God has equipped each one of us differently. And if we're willing to do this, we will all interact with a very vast variety of people. You know, I grew up on a farm. I've hunted. I've done all kinds of things. When I was at the last church, I found myself in an archery club. You know, I'm like, oh, there's like, I mean, this is a very, very rural town in Indiana. The downtown, a lot of the buildings are falling apart. And one of those buildings upstairs was an archery range. And I visited a couple of times. I'm like, huh. Actually, and it was neat just to see how those guys would come around me and teach me something I'd never done before. And to be able to interact with them. And boy, that's kind of fun. Each one of us has something in our lives where we can connect with people outside of the church. And you know, and Paul makes the point, I've made it my ambition, wow, cannot talk this morning, my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ wasn't known. Thing is, we never know what God can use as an opportunity. It might be breakfast with the HOA, it might be golf or boating, the list can go on and on. But as we interact with lost people, my prayer is that they will see something different in us. Right? Peter would tell us in 1 Peter that we always need to be ready to give a defense for anyone who asks the reason for the hope that is within us. We don't have to go out and we don't have to be Bible thumpers telling everyone that they're condemned to hell, but if we go out and we allow Christ to live through us, they're going to see something different. And as soon as they ask that question, the door is wide open to share the gospel message. And the Bible tells us we need to be ready to give that defense. And I pray that it is true of each of you this morning, that as you interact with people outside of these walls, they see a difference in the way you talk, a difference in the way that you act, a difference in the way that you conduct yourselves. And it's as we do this, we will be able to reach people with the lost. We'll be able to reach lost people with the gospel message. We will be able to say, as Paul has said, it is Christ who has worked through us. My desire is that you would just be willing to allow that to happen in your life. You know why? Because God's still in the business of saving people. And I'll tell you, if the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents, there's an incredible blessing of being used by God in the process here on earth. A blessing that if you haven't experienced, I hope you do, and I pray that you do, because it is just an awesome thing to see God work through you. My prayer is for us as a church that we will move beyond going through the motions, beyond just coming and sitting and listening to some guy babble on about roller skating and crazy illustrations. That we'll grow in our faith and our love for God will grow, and we will desire to be used by Him to fulfill the Great Commission. Right? He's equipped us. He's given us everything that we need. We have His Spirit. Christ desires to work through each one of us. That as we make ourselves available, He will. I am convinced of that. He will work through us. I'm convinced that we can be used by Him to make disciples. We can be used by Him to be part of the Great Commission. We just have to open our hearts and be willing to allowing Him to work through us. And that's my prayer for each one of you. That's my prayer for us as a church this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the day that You've given to us, and just pray that even now Your Spirit's working in each heart present this morning. Even those listening in on Facebook, that we would be mindful that what a blessing it is to be a child of Yours, to know that the truths of what we've seen today can make a difference in how we act, and that You truly desire to use each one of us in a unique way to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission. And Lord, we thank You that we have the gospel message, that we have the message of Jesus Christ, and that He came to this earth to save sinners from their sins and to provide hope of eternal life with You. And we thank You for that this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you'd like to respond to the message, you're always free to come forward and pray as we close. And if anyone would like to just have a personal prayer request and would like prayer, I can pray with you this morning. And most importantly, if someone's here this morning, never trusted in Christ to save them from their sins, I'd encourage you to come as we close.